Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Welcome back, Posh fans. Peterborough United lost 3-1 today away at Wycombe Wanderers. It was a pretty turgid first half with Wycombe definitely on top and not a lot of chances for Posh. We came out pretty strong at the beginning of the second half and a good Kwame Poku low cross ended in a tap-in for Ricky J. Jones in the 53rd minute. And Malik Mothersill missed a volley on the 60th, which could have made it 2-0. By the 70th minute, Posh were 3-1 down, courtesy of a Coney hat-trick and also Manny Fernandez being given his marching orders for the third goal, which was a penalty after Manny handballed in the box. There was not a lot to report on the game beyond that 70th minute, and it ended 3-1 after that quick-fire 10-minute spell for Wycombe Wanderers. Today, I am joined by Ash, Dell, Lods, Charlie, and me, Harry. We'll obviously be discussing the Wycombe game, and we'll be coming on to the Tuesday night Blackpool game at home and the Saturday Bolton away game. For now, Ash, I'll come to you. Give me your summary of the game.
Yeah, I think that it was definitely a game where this team showed their inexperience again. We didn't really see much of the ball for sort of the first 20, 25 minutes. We were dominated by Wycombe, who are much changed to a Wycombe that we've probably come up against. They were very direct. We really struggled with the balls over the top, but at the same time, we just couldn't find the space to pass the ball around. And then when we did get the ball, we were really sloppy with it, and it was really disappointing. Obviously, Fergie called them over when Jezdeer obviously had his little minor injury, and he sort of probably laid into them a little bit, and it was slightly better after that. Half-time came around, and then second half, I thought that we started really well. The goal was a fortunate goal. It took a deflection off of Poku's cross. And then I personally thought it was an own goal. I didn't think it was a Ricky goal. And then, like you say, Harry, Mothersill misses his volley, which it's exactly that. It's a volley. It's not the easiest of chances to finish. Like, it's not like it was a complete and utter tap-in at the back post. And then ultimately we capitulate again. Showing what we've done best in sort of this season is just throwing 1, 2, 3 goals away. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, Wycombe. Really, really disappointing to sort of go out with another whimper again in against a team that, yes, they are very good and they've had a strong, strong start to the season. But if we want to be up there, we've got to be competing with these guys.
We are playing this style of football that has either come from McAntony, Ferguson or both, and it's supposed to be an entertaining brand of football, and I don't feel entertained at all watching this. I feel frustrated as hell, especially after the game against Wycombe today. Wycombe don't play they don't press from the front. They let our defence have the ball, but they also sat up high. They were so compact in the middle of the pitch, and they were so narrow as well. So why the hell are we trying to play through that? None of the players were moving. None of the players knew where to be. I agree 100% with Ashley. They just look so inexperienced playing this system. So why are we still carrying on playing this way? Ricky J. Jones is one of the fastest players in the EFL, if not the fastest. And he had so much space in front of him. And he was that confident that the ball was never going to get played over the top, that he just stayed in an offside position just throughout the whole game. Regardless of the red card, and we did create chances. And to be fair, we could have stole the game. The start of the second half, I thought we were very dominant, playing the ball a lot quicker than we did in the first half. And then, like Max said last week, as soon as we conceded, we just stopped doing it again. And yeah, the red card, that was the third goal, wasn't it? They were already coasting by that point anyway. So it was irrelevant, the red card. We were going to lose as soon as they scored their second. I just felt the momentum had completely switched.
You know, I'm going to say what you just said there about entertaining. I go to football to be entertained. Whether we win, lose or draw, I'm not really that bothered, provided I'm entertained.
Like last week, 3-3 against Rotherham. 3-3. I was entertained. I enjoyed that game. Didn't win, but I proper enjoyed it. Today was just it's flat and it's basics. I don't think it's necessarily the system. If you look at the players, I'm not even going to try and not defend their ages. You know, they're footballers. You should be able to pass the ball to your teammate. You should be able to control the ball, you know, at your pace or whatever, because that's what professional footballers are. But we were just, you know, Ash said, we were so sloppy with the ball. And we created a lot of our own downfall just by not giving the ball away because of a difficult pass or something like that. It's because we were just so lapsadaisy. You know, I don't want to talk about players either. Individual, we'll go on to some individual players there. But there's a couple that I just thought was, from the off, they didn't look up for it. You know, they just looked a bit lethargic and a little bit, I don't need to do much here. I can just wait for the ball to come to me and then I can do what I've got to do. But then I was losing possession because, you know, the attacker or midfielder was nipping in front of them. It wasn't a good performance. And I would go as far as saying it's probably one of the worst performances I've seen all season. It's just everything about Wickham. I said in the cast last week, I fucking hate Wickham. Right, everything about it. And today just summed up why I hate it. The weather was shit. Getting there was shit. The parking, all right, I managed to get a parking space, but that's not the point. You know, the price of the food is through the roof. And it's just a shit away day. But at least it's done out of the way there. But the performance was fucking awful.
I think the thing that I found particularly like hard to swallow about the kind of tactical setup between both teams was that there was no reason why we couldn't do some of that midfield pressing that they were doing. What you saw was when a ball came over the top and Wickham weren't successful, and this happened many times, we actually, in my opinion, I thought the back four coped relatively well in the first half, except for maybe Sparks a little bit. But anyway, coped relatively well, and they try and clear it. Our players try and clear it. There would always be a Wickham midfielder in front of either our wingers or in front of Randall there in case the clearance didn't go far enough or high enough. You compare that to us, especially after the 70th minute where we started pumping it down the sides a little bit, you know, Nevitt trying to get it through to Ricky. Their defender, when they cleared it, their man was there, available, even if the clearance was under hit. So it's that, as we kind of already mentioned, that compacting of the pitch and that high effort work rate to make sure that the easiest clearance wasn't available to Posh is something that there's no reason we couldn't have done to Wickham, but we just didn't do it. Some of it in part is because we like to leave players further up the pitch. Randall stays further up the pitch. Mothersteel stays further up the pitch. But to be honest, I think we should be sacrificing that a little bit for some of those hard yards in the middle when it's clear that a team is doing this somewhat, you know, second level press where, although maybe our back line wasn't being completely shut down, if they tried to clear it and it was slightly under here, Wickham player there, and they can just recycle and keep going, especially at the end of the first half. That was what we just saw again and again. And that, to me, some of that off the ball stuff in terms of being there ready for the second ball when it's cleared, I actually don't think is that hard to change. And I hope that we see it against Blackpool on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game through sort of remotely on a screen. So I sort of saw it, I guess, differently to the people that were in the away end. But I didn't really think we were massively tactically outclassed at all. I think we had trouble with their press in the first sort of 20 minutes, half an hour. But then once we broke through that, we were relatively dominant. You know, our centre halves were able to come creep up over the halfway line and we were sort of pinning them in. It was just, I think, for me, more on Dell's point, it was just a lack of urgency and a lack of sort of inspiration, a lack of creativity. They were so rigidly stuck to this system and there was no individuality at all to the performance. But I think more concerning to me than the tactical stuff and the positional stuff was just the character that we showed. And I feel like can't decide whether this is a team with good character or not, because last week, we battled back from a 3-1 defeat, what was looking like a defeat, and we came back and it was 3-3 and it was great and a great character. And then today, we just collapsed again. And it feels like this team needs to decide when they want whether they're a team with character, whether they're a team that the fans can trust or not. because I sort of, you don't know which Peterborough United is going to show up. Is it the Peterborough United that, you know, held on to a 2-1 lead and won Exeter for the first time in a long time? Or is it the Peterborough United that we saw today that capitulated? I think the character is actually the main thing that Fergie needs to sort out, because the footballing side of things aren't that bad. We're not conceding, you know, goals from a tactical perspective. It's just slips in concentration and players getting their heads down for very little reason.
Yeah, and I think, like Del mentioned, it's the basics, isn't it? And we've got players all over the pitch that aren't doing the basics right. If I think about, obviously, O'Brien Brady taking off at half-time, he was really, really sloppy in possession today. Dornelli passing was atrocious today. I don't really know what happened. And a lot of that did come from the back in it, and it came from where it all started. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we've got this experienced player in goal, and he can't complete a proper pass to his right back. Dornelli, the amount of times he had to take 2-3 steps back just to pick up the ball. What exactly are we playing him for at the moment? He can't save the ball. The club made this fantastic compilation of the 50% of shots that he saved, but we're now 24 goals deep in 12 matches with this goalkeeper in. And his distribution isn't all that, really, if you ask me. I think that it's time that we give Bielo a chance. I don't think that the 24 goals that we've conceded would be any worse off. I think we'd be better off because Bielo makes saves. I don't think that Bielo makes that many mistakes with his feet. It's very unfortunate. We're obviously paying him high wages. I noticed on the inside training that he wasn't present on this training. I know that if I was a goalkeeper that had conceded 24 goals or 21 goals before today, I'd probably be putting in the extra yards and not taking the days off that were given to me when I signed the contract. And then when you think about how the first sort of 20, 25 minutes went, lots of long balls over the top and especially down the left-hand side, Sparks and Volland just couldn't deal with it. The amount of times that they were getting turned, it was a really weak performance from those two. And again, another one of those, like Charlie mentioned, hot or cold. And today was definitely a cold performance from pretty much everybody on the pitch, I thought.
When our ratings come out for the players, which will, I'm not sure if it will be before or after this episode airs, you'll see some pretty grim reading from a lot of the podcast hosts. I was a bit more sympathetic to everyone along the back line personally than what Ash has just expressed. I actually think this was one of Steer's best performances of the season until it wasn't for their second goal. But he made a good stop on the edge of the box, which involved him coming out decisively. He punched the ball away well on one of the corners, and he dived well to his right. And actually, his distribution today was pretty good. It was more, or maybe at least as much as I'd expect from a League One keeper. I think I gave him a 5.5 because he did make the mistake for the second goal. How that's looped over his head, I don't know. And I don't think it looped over Bielo's head. And arguably should have come out so that it wasn't a header for Coney in the first place. One other thing I'd say on Valin as well, and actually on Sparks, both of them, I think it's quite interesting that the stuff that wasn't defending today, I actually thought was pretty good. Valin moved out of defence and passed very tidily multiple times, and this actually includes the first half of Valin. He found Motherseal, who'd come short for a really nice pass breaking their midfield, which, although it didn't work out in the end, I think that was more on the attacking players than it was on anything that Valin or Motherseal did in that build-up. And some of Sparks' deliveries today were excellent, and if Motherseal had finished that chance, I mean, that was an absolutely pinpoint perfect cross. And on top of that, he's getting better at this thing where he becomes a bit inverted, he sits almost like a centre defensive mid, and then bursts forward on the inside of the winger. And he just wasn't found for any of those runs, except for maybe one, I think. And granted, when he tried to cross it back across the face of goal, he managed to hit it out for a goal kick. But yeah, I feel like we're being a little bit harsh on everybody. And I don't think it was that bad from them.
Harry, we've just lost 3-1. I think that we're more than entitled to be harsh. And when we're talking about Jed Steer's positioning, twice today he comes charging out towards the edge of his box And if the Wickham players had a little bit more about them, McCleary puts it over Steer's head and the ball's in the back of the net in the first half. And then I couldn't see who it was in the second half. He's done the same thing again. If they could just get the ball over him and make a proper connection with it, that's another two goals to Wickham. The only reason that we didn't concede in the first half is because Wickham didn't really have that many shots. I'm relatively confident that if they'd have put the ball on the goal, they would have scored in the first half, because I don't have any confidence that Jed Steer's going to make any saves. They put one deep cross in that sort of drifted past the post. I think if it was on target, it probably goes in. That's just sort of the luck at the moment. And I did, don't get me wrong, I did sympathise with the first one. It's another deflected goal that we've conceded this season. There's nothing that Jed Steer can do about that. But then within the next sort of 3 minutes, we've got defenders mucking around with the ball. Why has he not come out and claimed it? The ball's up there in the air for long enough. He can see where it is. Instead, he's rooted to his line. Just come and take some ownership. Like we mentioned against the Rotherham or Stevenage recording, I can't remember what it was. He's the experienced player. Take some ownership. Come out, punch the ball away or catch it. It's as simple as that for me. And if he's not going to do that, then it is time to bring Bilo back in.
Yeah, I agree. It was a weak performance from many players today. I want to point out Manny Fernandez, though, because I feel like we've been very, very complimentary of Manny. I've been very complimentary. I actually took to Twitter this week to say that I didn't think the captain's armband should be taken off Manny and that he should keep it, even though Collins was on the pitch and obviously Fergie agreed. But with the captain's armband comes a sense of responsibility. And I really like Fernandez. Like, I think he is going to be a seriously rock star centre-half for us and be really good for us. But getting sent off as the captain and giving away a penalty for such a stupid handball that was really unnecessary at that point in the game was really, really poor from Manny. It's his job as the captain to try and relieve the pressure on his team, you know. And we still had, what, like 20, 25 minutes left of the game? At 2-1, that's no disaster. But as soon as it goes to 3-1 and we go down to 10 men, that's game over. So, yeah, I was really frustrated with Manny today. I don't want to turn on him because I think he's got more than enough credit in the bank. And I think he's been probably our best player so far this season up until this point. But he's now going to miss a really important game on Tuesday night at home because of his own stupidity. And he probably did lose us the game today in some capacity, because at 2-1, it's no disaster. But when it goes to 3, that's when it gets tough. So, Manny, I'll defend you loads and I'll defend your ability as a player and I'll defend your place in this team. But it would feel unfair not to call him out today after all the compliments we've given him.
Okay, let's finish off with a defence. Manny, obviously I've given him a lot of credit of late, but even today, before his red card, he looked very sort of, he was one I was talking about, looking really lethargic. The ball was coming out to him and he's just standing there waiting for it. I don't think he was on his game. I don't know if the captain got to his head and thought, hey, look at me, I'm the captain now and I can chill. I don't know, but it wasn't his best game. I thought he was quite weak and I thought he was quite lethargic. Wallin was nothing spectacular. First half, I thought Sparks was pretty shit. And Donnelly, probably the worst game that I've seen him play all season. His passing was just atrocious, giving the ball away. But then again, the passing to him from Steer wasn't great. Just going back to Manny's cards, the first one was a bit of a 50-50 tussle. Should that have been a yellow card? I'm not too convinced. But then his penalty was definitely a penalty. Was that a yellow card or was that a straight red card?
Second yellow.
It was second yellow. Okay, so potentially he could have been on the pitch if the referee hadn't been like so, ooh, card happy with that. But end of the day, whatever, you don't punch the ball like that as a defender trying to be a goalkeeper in the box. But, you know, I thought overall our defending was quite poor. Moving on to midfield, disappointed, if I'm honest, that Archie Collins started again. I thought both midfielders had done enough last week to deserve a start again. De Havilland was very good during midweek, and when he came on, I thought he was very good. I actually put him down as probably my man of the match, if I'm honest. Brian O'Brady, I don't think he was particularly great today, but I actually thought he may have been a bit better than Archie Collins. Archie Collins doesn't seem to be filling me with confidence. He seems like a bit of not in control of the game. You know, some of his tackling today was a little bit, it looks like he's going out for another booking. You know what I mean? And he did get that other other booking. But got to start De Havilland on Tuesday night because, yeah, he deserves it. He's the only one that really, really looked up for it for the whole time that he was on the pitch today. But that's my little view on the midfield.
Yeah, I think I've just looked back at my De Havilland rating. I think I was a little bit harsh on him, to be honest. He was definitely somebody that came on at half-time and really passed the ball about with some intent. Probably two or three times, he really fired it in at Poku and sort of tested Poku's touch, which fortunately Poku was up to it, and which ultimately led to our first goal. De Havilland into Poku across the goal and then into the back of the net. So I think I'd probably, when the ratings come out, people can say that I was probably a little bit harsh. But hindsight, I think that De Havilland's performance was good enough to get him a start on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think De Havilland, to be fair, was more a case of managed minutes. From what I could ascertain from Fergie's post-match interview, it was a case of, well, we've got three games this week and he's not going to be able to play and start in all three of them. I think he'll definitely start on Tuesday night. I think he's a player who, even though Donny's impressed me this season, he does understand the system better than O'Brien Brady. He has a better rapport with Donny O'Brien Brady, with Archie Collins as well. I think Ryan De Havilland's a player that actually could be quite useful for us this season. You know, I think he can play in the 10 and he's a little bit stronger and a little bit less defensively fragile than Randall. But he can also play deeper. He can play as an 8. I actually think he's a really useful player. And he's also really good on set pieces as well, which is something that we haven't seen used yet. But he can, from what Barnet fans told us, he can really take a free kick, really take a corner. Apparently, he takes free kicks with one foot and corners with the other, which is pretty freaky. But maybe we'll see some of that in the coming weeks. But yeah, I do rate Ryan De Havilland. I think he's been good since he's come back into the team. I think it's actually a really welcome addition back into the squad. And yeah, I agree with you, Ash. I'd 100% be starting him on Tuesday night.
I think an interesting one. I'm pretty sure he will start, not least because of midfield options. But Randall today, you know, long-time listeners of the pod will know, I desperately want Randall to succeed. Don't care about the little tiff that he had with Fergie a couple of weeks ago. I just want him to do well because I think his vision is bordering on Premier League level, and when he executes it well, which by the way he did more than once today, but the problem was that they're in pockets of a performance. I just want to see him do 90 minutes of his best game. He managed to kick one out to the wing. I think it was Motherseal who was there, turning with his left foot. To have seen it in the first place was incredible. I think that was when we were 1-0 up, if I remember rightly. Someone might correct me. There were a couple of through balls that didn't quite make it, were a little bit under hit. And there were multiple times where I actually wish he'd been the guy to drop deep rather than somebody else to be that link up in play. He was, I think, especially in the first half, just too central, too much, almost like a shadow striker behind Ricky. And we know that he can spot incredibly good incisive passes and take up a excellent position on the pitch. Can he do it for 90 minutes, though? That's what I desperately want to see out of him. And I do think he's capable of it. Blackpool's probably a good game for it as well against a side that's, you know, probably somewhere in the middle of the table in terms of the ability of their players, particularly in their midfield. But we'll see. We haven't seen it yet this season. We haven't seen a 90-minute performance from him this season yet.
What is it, your love affair with Randall? Honestly, are you seeing things that we're not seeing? You know, granted, he done one. That was a good pass. I get that. It was a really good pass. But fuck, he ain't going to fuck you.
He is seeing things that you're not seeing, Dale. His vision is beyond the average football fan.
To be fair, my vision, when I played football, right, my vision was fucking superb. I knew exactly where I wanted that ball to go, and I knew exactly where I wanted the player to go, but it never happened because I was shit. All right, my vision was good, but I was shit. That is how Randall is at the moment. That's all I've got to say on it. Fucking hell. Stop trying to big him up. Stop trying to fucking be too positive when they're shit.
I know that we're saying about a 90-minute performance from Randall, but he's very, very clearly said he doesn't want to be here. Whether he has backtracked on that and apologised, that won't change anything. He doesn't want to be here. He can't wait for January to come around so that he can be shipped off to wherever it is that he wants to go. We're talking about 90-minute performances. I think we've probably had a 5-10-minute performance from him against Shrewsbury, and that's about it, really. He went missing in large parts, partly because of how Wickham played, like we've mentioned already, He needs space, and if teams are going to make it tight, then he's not going to be able to find the space for himself, because he likes to know that he's got sort of 10 yards around him to be able to do the stuff that he is good at. Maybe that's a tactical error on Fergie's behalf today, but I'm still disappointed with Randall, and I still can't see a way back from him, and just wish that Con Clark hadn't got himself injured so that we don't have to watch this Joel Randall disaster class week in, week out.
Yeah, I mean, I will just say I do have some sympathy with Joel Randall, in the sense that I think he was probably sold the dream that we were sold in the summer, that we were going to bring back a squad that was going to challenge for top two and win the league, and that it was going to be another system built around Joel Randall. And I think I feel the same way about Hector, about, you know, not Steer, but about Poku, Mothersill, Ricky J. Jones, is I do feel a bit bad for them, because they've sort of been hung out to dry by the players we've brought in. I mean, I'm not saying that we haven't got good players, but it's nowhere near what we were promised in the summer. We were promised a team to challenge for the top two, and anybody that thinks that this is a team that can challenge for the top two, and I was sold the dream in the summer and predicted a top two finish as well, I think is deluded, because this is absolutely not what we were promised. And I don't want to go at Darrow, because I like him as an owner, but I can sympathise with Randall, who's maybe thinking, what have I got around me now?
I think the important thing here is that we sort of work on a two-year cycle with these players, and all of these players that we're mentioning as being stitched up are not performing to the levels that they should be. Steer, shocking. Kipriano's been shocking. Collins hasn't hit the heights that he hit last season. Randall hasn't hit the heights that he has last season. I think the only one realistically that probably has improved on last season has been Ricky, and that's through the game time. So it's all well and good saying, oh, they've been sold a dream. But if their performances aren't up to scratch, who's to blame other than themselves?
True. And I do see that. But also, the model of player that we have, they're not players that carry teams around on their back. They're not players that are sort of like workhorses. They're all very classy players, and they're players that need players on the same wavelength around them so that they can perform. You know, Randall is great in a really good attack, but when he's got players that don't really know what they're doing around him, and I know Ricky and Mothersill make up that attack, but they don't really know what they're doing in this team, and they've not got a lot of reinforcement from defence coming in and a lot of reinforcement from the midfield. I think it's difficult for Joel Randall, because he's come from playing in a system where he was able to flit in and out, and he's now having to try and carry a team on his back that isn't on the same wavelength as him. So I think I agree with Harry. A lot of what Randall does is good. It just gets missed because the players around him don't understand it.
And that's all well and good when we're talking about the defence and the back four, but we're only when we look at the two midfielders, the three attacking players, and then our striker, only one of them's changed from last season. So it's not like it's a completely new setup for all of these attacking players and midfield players. Like we're the only change is Mothersill for Ephraim Mason Clark, and they're playing like they've never played with each other before, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, Ephraim Mason Clark is a big miss. I think he was, you know, we're not a balanced team now. Whether Mothersill is a good player or not, I still don't think he's a left winger necessarily. I think he is a striker. And I think we actually looked a better team today when Ricky went out onto the left wing and Mothersill was played up top. So we are missing a big part of the attack. And also a lot of the attack last season came from, you know, Burrows coming on the left-hand side, Katongo doing the occasional overlap, then the solid foundation of Collins and Kipriano, and we don't have that this season. And so I do feel bad for Joel Randall, and I do feel bad for all of the players. And I think, you know, the disappointment that the fans are feeling about how this team isn't what it was cracked up to be is probably very similar to the disappointment that these players are feeling. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and I do agree. And it's all well and good saying that we're not attacking, but we're scoring goals this season. Obviously, we mentioned earlier when we were talking about it, we are very leaky at the back. And it's all well and good saying that we should have gone 2-0 up today, And obviously Mothersfield's missed this volley that he's had. But this is a 20-year-old striker who, when we compare things, like I really do think that Malik Mothersfield is just flavour of the season. People have moved on from Ricky because they've all been proved wrong about how terrible he is. So they've gone, who's the next easy target? Who can we get reactions from? Oh, it's Malik Mothersfield. He checks Twitter. We can tweet about him and he'll see it, and then we'll get a reaction from him, which I've said before is fine. Like, I like that he interacts with fans and does that sort of thing. But a volley from a cross that is coming in is not as easy as people make out. I've seen people say that their 80-year-old grands could. No, you can make the face, Charlie, but it's not that simple. Like, you've seen the world's best strikers miss chances like that.
But he's a professional footballer. Like,
yeah, and I'm saying that Premier League strikers miss that chance.
Ashley, he had time to take a touch there that neither defender was anywhere near him. And that would be the only chance that we had that amount of space in the box.
No, but and we go 2-0 up, but I still think we concede three goals today, because that's the way that we are at the back. We've got a track record of conceding two goals a game. That's not going to change all of a sudden, is it? Just because we've gone 2-0 up.
Yeah, but I mean, the Malik chance was a massive moment in the game. We can't deny that. I mean, Malik, if he scores there, you know, makes it a lot easier for the defenders to defend in that situation, because he has, they have a backup. They have a 2-0 lead. They have something more to hold on to than that one goal. And then when something crazy happens, like a deflection, which was unfortunate, the first goal, we can then, you know, still have the lead, still have something to hang on to, other than being, you know, that was an equaliser. And then Malik's chances, then we're looking back at it and going, oh, this is, you know, that was the moment in the game. And I do think it was a relatively easy chance. I think it's something that players do on the training ground all the time. I think that, you know, if Ricky missed it, there would be uproar even more than there is now. And I think it's a volley from inside the box against one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and there's no defenders anywhere near him. We can disagree on the easiness of it, but I would expect my striker to put that shot away.
I think I'm not going to agree or disagree with you. I've got my opinion on that, but I think it's already been covered by what others have said. What I would say in terms of, again, I'm somewhat going back to our ratings, is that, and I've used this phrase before on the pod, all boats rise in a high tide. And I think the analogy is all player ratings would have risen had we won today. And I think that there's a little bit of overreaction. I think there's pockets of really good performances in here that were as good as what we were doing last season. And today, I think to an extent, we were unfortunate. And Mothersfield's chance was a symbol of the season so far, in my opinion, unfortunately. But anyway, moving on. And Peterborough United play Blackpool at home on Tuesday night and Bolton Wanderers away on Saturday. I think we mentioned both these games in tandem tonight, just because we don't know really what the situation is going to be after the Blackpool game. And in terms of injuries or in terms of whether we've won, drawn or lost. I think one thing I'm particularly concerned about going into this game is the situation for the defence. Obviously, Manny will be unavailable, having been sent off. And Wallin, this isn't a dig at him personally, but has once again gone down with cramp towards the end of a game. I don't blame him. He didn't have a summer off. And I think that we're going to have a big issue with trying to get him through any 90 minutes unless we give him, I mean, literally a month off, which we can't do given the depth of our squad. Lods, what are you going for the back four or back five? I should probably bring Steer and Billow into the conversation with the back five for the Blackpool game.
Yeah, I mean, the centre-backs pretty much right themselves, don't they? Unless we're going to do something rogue and bring Critchlow or Ollie Rose in, which I can't see happening. There's positives there. I think getting Wallin on the right-hand side rather than the left and putting George Nevitt on the left. George Nevitt today, I thought, was actually very good, considering he was the only centre-back on the pitch for quite a while at the end as well. His long balls were really good. He seemed to have that urgency that we were lacking for the majority of the game. Hopefully we can play more direct than we have been recently. In terms of the fullbacks, to be honest, Sparks, I didn't think played well at all today defensively. And I did say before the game, I wouldn't mind seeing Curtis play at left back, but Dornelli again, I don't think was very good. And I would keep him at right back. I don't really mind which one plays at left back between Sparks and Curtis, but Dornelli definitely I'd keep on, like I said the other week, trying to get that consistency from him. I think the issue he had today was in possession. There didn't seem to be an easy pass on for him is what I would say. And I think that's largely down to Danae Brian Brody, probably just lacking the experience of playing in such a compact, against such a compact team. Poku kept having to come short, which was then killing off any other potential ball after that. And we just kept losing it. So I'm hoping that won't be something that's consistent in the future. And JD's confidence can then increase. But yeah, I don't mind the left back as much. Hopefully George Nevitt puts in a good performance and maybe give Oscar Wallin some rest time because he clearly needs it when Manny's back next week.
I think it's going to be an interesting one in the midfield as well, just because De Havilland, I think, drove the beginning of the resurgence in this Wickham game in that 15-minute period, which obviously Dell doesn't agree is enough to qualify as a good performance. But De Havilland was driving through the lines, was pretty active, was spotting things that Donne certainly didn't. However, my reservations are, I do still think De Havilland is a little bit over-enthusiastic and he's out of position at times by being just too mobile. Funnily enough, for those who were at the 5-2 against Wickham last season, he did exactly the same thing. He came on and was flinging himself all over the place, trying to be available for a pass. And that actually leads to him being out of position. Some excellent passes, don't get me wrong, at times. But also, he had a run where he tried to go through and was tackled. He was committing too much to challenges he had no chance of making. And I am wondering whether we should still just stick with Donne, who is a bit safer, and have Collins next to him to start the Blackpool game. I'm sure there'll be someone that disagrees with me, but I think I'm personally going for Donne, Collins and Randall as my central players for Tuesday night.
I think I do disagree. I mean, I've already said that I'd start De Havilland on Tuesday night. I think, yes, De Havilland can be a little bit overexcitable, but maybe that's what we need. I mean, when we're talking about, you know, the lack of urgency in terms of, you know, that what Dell touched on with Wickham, De Havilland brings that little bit of frenetic energy that maybe we need to start getting attacks going quicker. He's going to want to get the ball and get forward as quickly as possible, and he's going to be making himself available. And maybe that will sort of sacrifice a bit of Collins because he's going to have to sit and just keep things calmer. But I think De Havilland paired with Collins may actually work quite well because you've sort of got, like, you know, you remember Taylor and Norburn. You know, you've got Jack Taylor who was running around all over the shop doing stuff, and then Norburn would just sit and chill. And Collins can be our Norburn, and then maybe Ryan De Havilland can make stuff happen and be a bit more of a maverick. So I would start Ryan De Havilland. I think not only does Donne need a break, but I also think, yeah, Ryan De Havilland in the last probably two games in a form chart, he's probably been the better of the two.
Yeah, I think that the important thing is that whilst we sort of comment and rate these players, I don't think that means that all of a sudden we want to kick them out of the starting 11. But I think that the important thing is that when you look at Dornelli, when you look at O'Brien Brady, when you look at Manny Fernandez, these guys were probably playing once every 2 weeks last season. It is very taxing physically. And then it is also taxing mentally to play this game and play the way that we do. You can't switch off. Like we've seen today, when you switch off in Dornelli and O'Brien Brady's case, you're playing bad passes. And fortunately, first half, we didn't get punished for their poor performance. But I think that it's sort of time when we say, look, top six is out the window. I'm not saying let's just focus on... we need to just start leveling expectations. And saying that this team is not good enough to get top six. No way. Not whilst we're conceding two goals a game. I I'm not having it. And actually, we just need to start saying, right, Nevitt plays, Dornelli plays, O'Brien Brady plays, and we give them the experience so that next season we can then go again and we have a really good crack at it.
I mean, we were saying about reviewing our expectations and leveling them off. And I do agree at the moment we don't look like a top two team at all, but I don't think Darren Ferguson will stick around if we openly admit we're not finishing top six. I don't think he'll want to be part of the project. And for what it's worth, I actually think a new manager coming in could probably get a better performance out of this squad. I don't think they're a bad bunch of players. I think today, individually, there was a couple of issues, mostly in the first half. But individually, I don't think there was any real stinkers in their performance. I think it is literally just they look like they don't play well together. And that is on the manager. You can't blame all 11 players for looking like they don't know how to play with each other.
Okay. So I'm not sure we're going to get relegated. I don't think we're going to be in the top half, right? We're going to be down the bottom. But, you know, if we look at the sort of team we've been putting out every week, there's been no settled fucking partnerships. It's been mix and match all over the place. You know, last week, Manny was fucking superb. This week, he was shit. Last week, Ryan Brady, whatever his fucking name is, right? Brady. Last week, he was superb. Today, he weren't great. Last week, Donnelly was okay. This week, he wasn't very good. The partnerships have not been there, you know? So we've got to, like, sort of have a little bit of... But these are still professional footballers, right? And they should be able to do the basics, right? For the next game, midfield, I think I've already alluded to it. I would go back to Brady and I will have De Havilland. I would drop Archie Collins because I don't think he's been great this season. That's just me. And, we've just got to understand that we haven't got the best physical team that we could have. Just on a note, I know we've got Dunwick and we're going back. You know, for a team that's so soft, we had 5 bookings. You know, that's not for being hard. It's just being shit tackles or a little bit of a dodgy referee. But do you know what I mean? We just need to be a bit tougher and challenge for the ball. And we haven't got that at the moment. But midfield, let's go De Havilland and let's go, what's his name? Brady.
I just cannot believe across the last 5 minutes we've had a Fergie in or out of meter comment, essentially, in October, and we're talking about finishing in the bottom half when we are 3 points off the playoffs. Did anyone actually remember that bit? And no team that is on the verge of relegation plays like we did for the 20 minutes that we did today at any stage in any game. We definitely have the ability to do better than this. I'm stunned at the negativity here. I know it was a bad loss, but this is killing me, guys.
Harry, we're 3 points off of 6. Every fucker's played at least 2 games more than us, mate. We're shit. We're not even competing close to the top. All right? Get your facts right.
Oh, this is some serious head loss. This the last 5 minutes of this conversation is absolute head loss. Drop Archie Collins. You know, another manager would do better with this group of players. I mean, I've been critical tonight, but let's just chill. I mean, it's literally October. It is October. We go on and we win on Tuesday night and we're back further up the table. We then get a draw on Saturday and it looks like a good result. And then we have Cambridge at home. And if you actually look at our festive fixtures from Cambridge onwards, there's some really, really easy games there. And games that if we are on form, we will be able to just rattle off and pick up points. If we're still in this position come Christmas, yes, then I'll start to be more concerned. But let's not start throwing around crazy comments like let's drop our best midfielder or I reckon another manager would do better with this squad, because this is Fergie's baby, this project. This is Fergie's system. This is what Fergie has developed. And I guess it comes down to what do you value more at this very moment? Is it the strengths of the players or is it the system? These players have not shown what they need to, that have not shown me that they are good enough to change the system for them. They've not shown me that they're good enough footballers, but the system has shown last season consistently that it is good enough to be played by a team at the top of League One. So let's just have a bit more faith in the system. Let's have a bit more faith in the players that have not really done a lot wrong for us ever at the football club. And let's just chill. We're not getting relegated. We're not going down. I still think we'll be in and around the playoffs. We're just going through a bit of a blip and we have a few things we need to iron out. And most of it's concentration and individual errors. It's not even tactical stuff, most of it. So let's just be calm.
I disagree. This is why we need to reset expectations, because right now we're still expecting to be a top two club. And we're going into games like today and we should be expecting a win. And you're saying about us not getting relegated. Of course, we're not going to get relegated. There's far worse teams than us. But at the form table, if you look at the form table, we are in relegation form, Charlie. And we had this conversation at the beginning of the season, three or four games in, and we said, yeah, we're in bad form now, but let's wait until October. We're in fucking October now, and we've got relegation form. When do we start panicking? You're saying wait till December now.
You say we're only in October, and come after Christmas, we've got games we should be winning. Fuck me. We can't like even draw at a moment. It is what it is, right? End of the day, I think we just have to accept we're not very good. Our players on the day can be very good, but as a team, we're just not gelling, you know, and they're not doing the basics right. And yeah, I know it's Fergie's baby, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, if he can't get him working, this team, he ain't going to be hanging around. Simple as that. He won't hang around, you know, because he won't accept like fucking players not doing what he's asking him to do. And unless they start changing, you know, because we can't like bring in another load of fucking players. He's got to get him working. If we get relegated, whatever. I don't think we will. No, I genuinely don't think we will. But at the moment, if we try to look for the rest of the season, we're more in a relegation battle than we are in a promotion battle, based on our results, based on our performance, and based on the trend that we're on at the moment. You know, a couple of good wins, yeah, granted, that will change, and the whole thing could change. But if we sit here and look now, there's only one way we're going, and that's going down. Those are the facts. You can't argue with the facts, but we need to turn it around. But we need to turn it around quite soon, because otherwise, how many games will it be before, fuck me, we need this amount of points to stay at this position? Yeah, saying being calm, I'm horizontal, mate. I'm half asleep and nearly like Lods. Lods is asleep. But, you know, we're calm, but we're just dealing with facts. And bring on Tuesday night against Blackpool and see what happens there. If we win, excellent. It'll be a different conversation. If we lose, it will be the same conversation.
Yeah, and I think the important thing is that we're saying that we need to get a couple of wins back to back, but I don't think we're going to win against Blackpool on Tuesday night. Steve Bruce has got them winning. They're playing good football. They've been really successful since he came in. And then we're going to go to Bolton, where we don't really have the best track record. I can't see us getting any points in the next two games. And then two games on, where will we be this time next Saturday? I can't see it happening. I think that once teams start playing their games and catching up with us, we're going to drop further down. Like Dell says, we're not getting relegated. Cambridge, Crawley, Burton and Shrewsbury are cannon fodder. Between those four teams, they're the ones that are going down this season. But let's just sort of manage it. This is what I said about managing expectations now. These players are going to blow hot and cold. So how can we expect them to go out and win every game and put the pressure on them to become a top six team? It's not going to happen.
All right. Well, on that note, I suppose we need to get some predictions in. I'm inclined for this episode to go with how many. You can give me a score for Blackpool if you wish, but I also think that I want to hear from all of you how many points we're going to get over the next two games across Blackpool and Bolton, in your opinion, gents. I will come to Charlie first, please.
I'm going to stay positive. And I think actually maybe this recording of the podcast has made me more positive in a weird way than I was before, because it's forced me to actually think about the good that we have. And so I'm going to go for, we're going to win on Tuesday night. I think we'll beat Blackpool at home. And then I'll go for a 2-1 win there. And then I'll say, actually, we're going to get a point at Bolton. So I'll go 4 points from the next six, which I think would be a very, very good return. So yeah, I'll go four points.
Charlie's thinking of all the good things, and I don't know if it's just because I'm tired and we're recording it on the Saturday night of the game. I can't think of a single good thing. I'm going to go for 0 points. I think we're losing both games. I think Steve Bruce is an experienced manager. Blackpool playing some good stuff. They're going to come over to our place, do us in. We're going to lose all confidence, and then we're going to go to Bolton, which is a tough ground to go to, and they're also a good team, and we're also going to lose that.
Yeah, and I agree with odds. I've just mentioned it. We are talking nil point. I think it's going to be a massively low attendance. I think that we concede relatively early on and the players' heads goes down, the fans' heads goes down. I think that we might hear some booing at halftime, which would be unfortunate. And then, like I say, we're going to go to Bolton and we're not going to get anything from that game either. Though I think that they obviously haven't had a fantastic start to the season, but they appear to be kicking on now, unlike ourselves. But yeah, I'm just disappointed at the moment.
I know what you're saying about the booing. I don't think we should ever boo your team at halftime. I'm with you. I don't think any of us ever have. I don't, even players I can't stand. You should never boo a team. Anyway, I would be happy to get 2 points, if I'm honest. I'd be, in the two performances, I'd be able to get a minimum 2 points. But my head is ruling my heart, and I don't think we're going to get any points. Potentially, for a scoreline, I'm going to actually say we're going to lose by 4-1, because I can't see us, keeping many clean sheets. We're not going to keep clean sheets, because we are the only team in the whole of League One that have not had a clean sheet yet this season. But anyway, I'm going to go 4-1 for both games, defeat. Don't want to end it on a negative, but that's what it is. I've got to be what I see.
Well, I'm not quite as negative as you guys. I think we're going to get 3 points. I think we will beat Blackpool on Tuesday night, and I think we will lose to Bolton. We've actually equipped ourselves fairly well against middle or lower table teams this season. Blackpool aren't great from what I've seen. I'm not going to pretend I watch every team avidly, obviously, but from the bits I have seen of them this season, I don't think they're that great. And they're coming into this game, if I'm not mistaken, with themselves a little bit of a rut. I think that Bolton are, on the other hand, a pretty good side that are hitting form, point that was already made. And I think we'll struggle away. Not least as well, because just the number of games, one after another, for a squad of our size, particularly with the injuries that we've got, I think that it'll just be a step too far and we'll lose that one. For those on YouTube, there's a lovely close-up of Ash there for my little speech. If you're listening on Spotify, I'd encourage you to re-watch the entire episode on YouTube, because it's so worth it. Anything else from anyone? If not, I think we're there.
Yeah, I want to come in. We're playing Cambridge at home soon, and we have a rivalry with them that goes back to our prehistoric dates, back when Dell was a teenager. We haven't lost at home to Cambridge in the league for like 30 plus years or something ridiculous like that. They won 2-0 today against Wigan. Even Cambridge have managed to keep a clean sheet. They had 1 point on the table today before the game. If we don't sort out our form and they turn things around, and you're talking about fans booing, if we're losing at halftime against Cambridge at home, I tell you what, there will be some fans up in arms.
Nah, it's not going to happen. Cambridge are absolutely atrocious. Even a broken clock's right twice a day. They've got a win. They're going down. They're not going to get, 30 points. They're not very good. Just calm. We'll beat Cambridge at home. Let's not even think about that. I feel like we've psyched ourselves out. It's going to be okay. We're going to be fine. We're going to be sat here with 4 extra points next week, and we're going to all be smiling with a big beaming grin.
Our fortunes are going to change when that big Aussie bastard Billa Cappage comes in on Tuesday night.
And on that note, thank you for listening, everyone. We will catch you next weekend, when we will cover both the Blackpool and Bolton games, which will have come and gone. Let's hope some of the hosts were right and most were wrong about how the results go. Thank you. Up the posh.
Up the bloody posh course, mate.
Up the posh.
Bring back Bilo.
Fuck off.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
It's quite a pleasure coming down the right. Ricky J. Jones is in the middle. Goal!
Someone check on Harry. I think he's had a heart attack.